yes, and come on in the water just fine. You ain't gonna believe this.
But I know a good body, I've been talking about wrestling. I've got
the corners of the
one of the bad.
I mean,
teeth
for y'all wrestling fans. That does is wrestling over from new school has his own.
What about it?
I'm bringing to
Matt the wrestling.
Matt, get on in here. The water's just.
Oh, baby. I am pumped to be here, Wayne. Calling it like I see it. You didn't know your ass better call somebody, dude. Pro wrestling? Is this finally happening between us two mega powers?
Oh, yes. It's
finally happening. Yes, indeed.
Hell yeah, man. I'm pumped to be here tonight. Yeah, dude, I'm great. Just been grinding like you. We just came off WrestleMania, kind of enjoying all this. There's just so much to talk about, man. From The Rock to two nights of WrestleMania, stadium shows, and then just kind of this glimpse in the past we're kind of getting with this new vibe of WWE. So I'm excited to talk tonight, man.
Oh, for sure, man. I'm
all for it. WrestleMania, that what you all time? Are you one of those?
I love it. I don't know how to judge it. Best WrestleMania of all time. I'm not there, but dude, getting to see The Rock as the final boss, two nights of WrestleMania instead of one. I love that concept of it. There was a lot of good that came out of this. I believe. I don't know if I'm going to say stand on my grave saying this is the best, but it didn't disappoint, in my opinion. What do you think about it? Was it one of those? Do you have it up there, or were you kind of underwhelmed?
I got it up there, but see, I don't know if I can say a
WrestleMania of all time, really. I mean, because WrestleMania
3, right.
13, 17, so I kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I'm.
Oh, absolutely.
Because on this card,
that really.
Main event,
or like on SmackDown. Hate on it, but I don't. About the numbers, I mean, it's going
to
every year. Oh, we broke.
I'm like, you're going to break it
every year, then
next year going to be the
best one of all time.
You can
really
all time. I think you can just kind of.
Now think of the revenue they're bringing in for two nights of a packed stadium where they used to have that one night sellout, 70,000 fans. Now they've got two nights back to back. Then on top of that, you have all these like independent shows that are booming. You've got all the, you know, Comic Con's really taking off. So this is a great time to be a wrestling fan and kind of just bask in the glory of professional wrestling.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it's great.
I think it's
all the way to Sunday.
Or
briefly.
But now you got.
I think it's great. I really do.
So I ain't got nothing.
Absolutely.
More wrestling.
Oh,
now you know I got.
Yeah, man. It was great. Hit me with
so
a.
Are you.
Are you a coach?
No, I don't think I'm a Cody crybaby. I'm proud that him, kind of like Drew McIntyre, has elevated themselves to that main event level. So I don't know. Anytime you have The Rock inserted into the main event picture, I'm one of those, like, I enjoy storylines, but. What maybe the Cody crybaby? I wasn't one, but maybe it worked in our favor because we got the final boss. And to me, that if we didn't have those Cody crybabies, we might not have had such a epic WrestleMania main event two nights in a row.
Yeah, that. I can agree with that. I'm either. Although he
and just
when he won the belt,
I'm like,
okay, that's cool.
But now he's
yeah.
kind of
growing on me.
Yeah,
through and through. I've been
Romans. You know, I ain't gonna say nothing bad about it.
Everything's good
though.
I think Seth got the
MVP.
I think that.
Absolutely.
So I'm all
Seth
for it.
Trying to. Well, dude, and I was kind of on the fence with like how you were with Cody Rhodes. That was kind of my like, I enjoy Seth Rollins, but I'm still trying to figure him out, you know? But sometimes he's got those shades of Macho Man with the outfits and everything. And I think after this WrestleMania, he's really grown on me, where I can finally be like, okay, I'm on board with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I serious. Like when he's like on business version of Seth. That's my guy.
So I'm not gonna hate him.
I liked everybody in the Shield, really.
That's I mean,
it was great in that group.
But so are you?
What are you feeling about this new?
Kind of curious on what you think about.
They showed up
pushing it now.
Wrestling intro
every week.
The new era.
Everybody cussing.
Just around.
So it's.
That's coming. It's gonna be on Netflix in a couple months. What you think about the new era?
I think it's good. I think it's, you know, regardless of how it's looked at, Vince McMahon kind of painted them into a corner where you have to evolve and kind of change the trajectory. So with the Netflix deal, that's going to be huge. Because for those guys that like me that don't pay for cable, how am I going to watch USA Network Raw every Monday? Like I used to. Every Monday I DVR it. I record it. Yeah. Now, with all these apps, I just don't have the time to sit there. I catch it on social media. But with Netflix, everybody's got Netflix, man. So I think that's an epic deal for WWE for the foreseeable future. And I think kind of toeing that line kind of helps out. I definitely did not expect all the cussing. Having the kids I do, I see where, you know, our parents came from when we were little. And we're watching Sable and Stone Cold. It's a different vibe. But I am thoroughly enjoying it, and it's one of those your kids are going to hear cuss words regardless. It's just if they use them. So to me, this is – I'm really enjoying what we have for coming up with pro wrestling. No longer sports entertainment. It's pro wrestling.
I've been seeing it.
I've seen that.
I just wonder what
– I'm just curious.
What that's really going
to mean moving forward.
Yeah, and that's where you see, like, AEW. What do they specialize in? They might not be the best storyline. They might not be the best, like, use of booking, but pro wrestling, from bell to bell, they get it done. So I'm excited to see if WWE can really bring – they already have the entertainment aspect. But if you bring that pro wrestling, you have more of those matches people want to see, I think you're going to see.
All right. All right, y'all. We back. Technical difficulty. We apologize. We back like we never left. So, wrestling, Matt, what's going on? Everything going good? You still with us?
Oh, yeah, baby. Loving it. Loving talking wrestling, dude. This is, like you said, we're heading to a new era of pro wrestling, and that's exciting for both of us.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Now, let me ask you this about the two night, the only thing I've kind of found myself doing sometimes, do you feel like the nights are created equal? Because I know some years I felt like, well, night one's cool, but I'm really ready for night two. Or night one will be good, and then, okay, well, what you going to do for night two? Do you look at them in equal, or do you feel yourself kind of on a roller coaster with the two nights?
I think I'm really like they're going to get hit hard from the intro of night one, but I think the build up and the climax is all for night two, in my opinion. Like, that's to me, that's the end of the movie. So that's what I'm down to see.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I was just curious about that. And like I said, everybody's gonna watch both nights. You're not gonna skip a night. You're not gonna do that.
So right.
It's all good. So I'm really for it. I'm more of the two nights. And just out of curiosity, if you was going, how would you rank WrestleMania? I know we talked about this, but how would you rank this one? Like in the top five?
I think it's interesting because you do have, to me, I'm a big Rock fan. I think we both are. I think everybody is.
Yep.
So having him as an integral part, like you said, Cody Rhodes, finishing the story from the legendary Dusty Rhodes, baby. There's so much going on here. Yeah. The Shield, like you said, there's so much that came into it storyline-wise. I think you have to put it, I wouldn't say at the top of the mountain, but it's got to be, at least for the last 10 years, I'd say it's probably one of the best.
I would agree with that. Oh, and fun fact, you mentioned The Rock. Did you know, and you might know, I found out yesterday. Did you know that The Rock and The Undertaker are the only two wrestlers in wrestling history to headline a WrestleMania through four decades?
That's nuts.
They're the only two to do that in the history of ever. So
that
I just
crazy.
And I thought that was funny because Undertaker caused Roman helped out. So I'm like, it's funny how that happened. Although it was supposed to be Stone Cold, but it was Undertaker. And I think it wouldn't have been outside of setting the damn stadium on fire. I don't think they could have gotten any louder.
No, so, absolutely. When let's talk about Stone Cold for a minute. Cause that's one of those guys. We both are like, dude, he's the GOAT. He's one of them. Like, why, what makes you, I don't care about financials. Like, this is WrestleMania 40. This is your time. Why did we not see Stone Cold at WrestleMania?
Yeah. With The Rock? I mean, that's, I mean, you could print money just off that. Never mind the match, just them two together. You can print money just with that.
Yeah.
So
it made no sense to me.
Yeah, and who knows what it – I mean, I don't know, but I just feel like that's a – if that's – I'd rather that not have known. They're like, over money? That's what we doing now?
So dumb. But
I mean, everybody need their money, but I just – I don't know. If there was ever – I don't know. But, you know, because, I mean, I would have did it for a lot less than
you
got
to give back to the fans, though, at some point. Like,
man, for that right there?
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it is what it is. And
right. We still had a banger.
Right. Because in real time, I was just as loud as everybody else. So I'm not going to act like I wasn't hyped. So it was all good, man. It was all good. Now, with The Rock, so let me, because I think this Rock right here, I think this is I think this is probably the best Rock we've seen in at least a good 10 years, because I think this was better than anything he did with Cena or CM Punk when he had that little run when he came back to fight John Cena twice. I think this is better than any of that.
Dude, so much shock and awe just with, you know, the cussing. Like, did anybody see that coming? Like, at all?
No, not with – no, I didn't.
I mean, it felt like to me he was so on fire that, you know, he pretty much took over the storyline with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, absolutely. He absolutely did. He transcended the story, the bloodline. I mean, he had Roman sitting in a corner for about 2 months just listening to him talk.
That's how good The Rock is. Like, I think, if anything, it's shown us just the greatness of what we've, you know, what we had. Something maybe we didn't appreciate, like you said, the last 10 years as kind of a good guy. You know what you're going to get. But this Rock, you know, he's saying, fuck that. The camera's not rolling. We're still going. Like, things like that just change the course of wrestling. So, to me, A-plus is across the board as far as Final Boss Rock.
Yeah. So, I'm all for it, too. I'm the only thing I thought that was weird was when he asked to hold Cody's belt. I thought that was kind of weird, but everything else has been A+. I thought that was kind of strange, but it, you know, you ain't gonna hear me say nothing bad about The Rock.
No, not at all.
No, nah, man. So just speak. We talking about The Rock. We talking about Stone Cold, Undertaker. And, you know, I got to ask. So, and I'm mainly what I do is football, basketball, and anything going on. I might talk about a little love here and there, just depending on what we got going
on. Yeah, absolutely. But
what I do, I'm all about asking for top five. So since we're talking about wrestling, I got to hear your top five. I got to hear what the wrestling mat's top five is. Like, I need that, dog. I need it.
Woo! Let's go, baby. Dude, yeah. You said top five. I'm such a wrestling fan. I have it, like, pinpointed to certain eras, certain timing. Okay. So five, I'm going to start it off, like, 86 to 90. I can't go one. I can't go, but I can tell you this. It's Hulk Hogan, it's Macho Man, it's Ultimate Warrior.
Okay. All right.
That time frame, like, they owned it. It was theirs. Like, there was nobody, at least in WWF, that was touching those three guys.
So let me ask you this, because now, just for full context, I'm 34. I was born in 89. So the only way I saw them kind of tapes, because my mom, she couldn't justify me watching wrestling every week and then buying a pay-per-view. And the 86 also wasn't around. So what I would do, I would go to Blockbuster and I would see, that's how I would see, you know, that era you're talking about. But when I would talk to older people, they always would hurry up and mention Ric Flair. So are you saying, was Ric Flair not as big in the 80s? He wasn't bigger than those three?
I think you have a different vibe. You have a Southern Territory wrestling. You know, you have this, you know, the Superstation. You have something different than you had in WWE. It was rock and wrestling. It was the big lights, the music. It was everything, the pyro. And I think, Ric Flair's larger than life, but when you see Hulk Hogan, you see the Macho Man, and you see the Ultimate Warrior run into the ring, dude. It was a different vibe to me. And that's what, to me as a kid, that's what I was all about. Like, I'd eat shit. Like, these guys were running crazy to me.
Yeah.
I appreciate Ric Flair now. Like, I love Ric Flair. He's awesome. But at the time, like, as a kid, those were the guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted
No. That's the best part of being the host, dude. You have so much intel to spin this however you want. This is what makes your show great.
And I appreciate it. Oh, by the way, I'd be remiss. So you don't know this. I have a loyal listener by the name of Keyshawn. I remember when he was the only subscriber I had on this damn show. And he happens to be a big wrestling fan. And I'm just going to tell him, just point him out right now, that Keyshawn, he said the Ultimate Warrior was the man in the 80s. The Ultimate Warrior, them promos, the all them promos and the Hulk Hogan's, and they was running the 80s. I just want to put that out there, put you out there, Keyshawn. You listen to the wrestling, Matt. You listen. This is a history lesson for you.
Who's Keyshawn? Is he a Ric Flair truther? What's his vibe?
No, he's number one, he literally remembers every wrestling match that's happened from 2004 probably to now.
It's
really more the old, you know how they used to do promos back in the day, back with Mean Gene Oakland and everybody be sitting there slobbing on everything, climbing on cages. You know what I mean? So that he just feels like that wouldn't really work. Like, he appreciates it. He doesn't.
Yeah, it's a different vibe, you know.
Right. And I like to rib at him. So whenever I see Macho Man or something like that, or Bret Hart or something, you know, I always pick at him. And so when you said that, I just had to just jab at him real quick. But yeah, man. So that's number five. You said, what was that time frame again?
Yeah, 86 to 90, guys. If you guys are into the bodies of pro wrestling where they're all gassed up, they're larger than life, they're yelling. Yeah. It's rock and wrestling, which is, if you haven't heard about it, it's roll, it's wrestling. You know, all over in your face. WWF was touring like two different crews every day. That's how much they were putting out wrestling content. So definitely worth checking out. Just that, like, go back and watch a WWF Saturday Night main event. You'll get the vibe to it.
For sure.
but that's one of those time frames, like I said, Warrior, Hogan, Macho. Hey, you could say one of the guys in the opening card, he had so much charisma that that's what they were doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I think next, here I go again. I'm talking, you know, it might not be in order, but you have to go. I didn't appreciate him when I was younger, and now I do. Bret Hart.
Yes.
Bret Hart from like 92, 91 to pretty much when he left WWE was he might be the best bell-to-bell wrestler I've ever seen in my life.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on real quick, because now you just all right. Can you say that one more time for the ones in the back that may not have heard you?
Yeah, 91 till about 97, Bret Hart was the best bell-to-bell wrestler in the entire world, in my opinion. The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. End of story.
Just for full context, he happens to be my favorite wrestler of all time. So when you say that just does – well, I can't wait for Keyshawn to hear this. I can't wait for him to hear that episode. I can't wait.
Well, you're talking Ric Flair swagger, which he had.
Yeah.
Bret Hart swagger, dude. The pink glasses, the black leather coat.
Yes.
The slick black hair, dude.
And the guitar music. Riff when before he came out.
Yeah.
Dude
didn't have to say one word. He just you picked up the vibe instantly.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it. I know it. Like I said, that's my guy. So that's now how did Absolutely. You feel about Bleacher Report? They had a list that, to my knowledge, everybody hated it. They had him as the best wrestler of all time. Like they had him over everybody. To that you say what?
See, I kind of like that for the fact that I'm one of those wrestler hit a certain age. Like I kind of they move down my power rankings. And if you think of like a Jim Brown, that's kind of like a Bret Hart. Bret Hart got to kind of, even though it was a concussion and all that, he kind of left on top.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty damn cool to see, like where you see a Hogan or you see a Shawn Michaels or, you know, Triple H, all these guys. Triple H is damn near close to being, you know, one of those guys that didn't lose it. But a lot of guys, they just kind of fell off, in my opinion. Bret Hart never fell off.
No.
Jim Brown never fell off. Calvin Johnson never fell off.
No, you're right. You're right. He never fell off. He may have got a little mishandled a little bit towards the end, but didn't fall off. He was still, like, even outside of WWF, I mean, he was still putting good matches in WCW with Bret Hart. Actually, with my favorite WCW match of all time is top three. It's probably when he fought Sting, when they was fighting over the Scorpion Deathlock. I think that whole thing was great.
Dude, Bret Hart's next level. Like, there's nobody, like, the way he sold a move, the way he, you know, perfected, like, execution of moves. Like, we could go on and on for days. Yeah. I wish I had this respect when I was younger of Bret Hart that I have now. And I think a lot of people, they're like, oh, he's kind of a crybaby, blah, blah, blah. Dude just loves wrestling.
Yeah.
End of the story. Like, he takes this shit real, and that's what you got to appreciate that about the Hitman.
And by the way, that the crybaby Bret, him being a heel, he's literally doing his job. You're not supposed to like the heel. A lot of people cheer heels now, like Roman and Rhea.
Right.
You know what I mean? Drew McIntyre. But he was literally doing what he was supposed to do as a heel. So,
yeah,
I mean,
dude. Granted, he was on point.
Yeah. I agree. All right. So that's number four, Bret. I love it. I love it. I'm here for this list. I'm so here for this list.
Three is, I'm going to go another time frame. Here we go. 93 to about 98, Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels.
Okay. All right.
Like, Shawn, I didn't love him all the time. I thought he was a cocky motherfucker. But he was good. He was so good at, you know, just the charisma, the intro, the, you know, the tights. Like, you're like, dude, he's drips too. And he's, you know, right on par with Bret Hart. Maybe a little behind, in my opinion. But he's right up there. Like, he could wrestle, you know, you're watching him the whole match. And he's doing things you don't see other guys do.
Yeah.
The thing with, but he's right there. But Bret Hart, I think the thing with Bret Hart, you saw him wrestle Diesel, Yoko, other big guys. And he made them look good. Where Shawn Michaels, you kind of saw with Diesel, kind of those matches. He wasn't. it didn't come off as it should have, or like a Yokozuna or a Vader. So I will say that, but Shawn Michaels, dude, he's another one. 92 to about 98, I don't think anybody other than Bret Hart could touch him. And then you add him just being a cocky jackass. I think that worked better for him as a promo because he was a heel where Bret was a face.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah, I mean, how can you – I didn't necessarily love his stuff as he got older. His receding hairline kind of creeped back. It wasn't my vibe. You know, you're kind of like, all right, this guy's kind of halfway out the door already. But he was still as entertaining as ever. You know, you can't hate on tuning up the band.
Yeah, and you can see now it's super kicks all across the board. I don't know if you watch AEW or not, but it's super there. I know you see the Usos. I mean, they can't go 2 minutes without kicking somebody in the damn cheek. Yeah, so I agree though about the Bret and Shawn. Like I think they're about right there together ring wise, but I feel like Bret was the better wrestler, but Shawn was the better performer. If that makes sense.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's what you can see when you watch matches. Like Bret will literally, he tells a story in the match, and you love every minute of it. Shawn keeps you entertained the whole match.
Right. And both can give you a 5-star match. So both of them, because they both understand it's not about the move, it's about the match.
Right.
So they're both great at that. They're both great at that. Hogan was good at that too, because he was real theatric with his stuff.
Dude, I was watching a Hogan perfect match from 1990. I actually did like a watch along for it. I just haven't edited it. And I was like, holy shit, it's crazy to see this like athletic Hulk Hogan. Cause you just think of like the muscles and the charisma, but you don't think about how quick this guy would like get flat backed and jump right back up off the ring.
I mean, there's some stuff there. I'm sure you've seen it, but it might be before Hulkamania. But have you seen like Hogan wrestling like in Japan?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm like, is that Dean Malenko out there? Who was that?
Dude.
Like, it was nothing like Hogan that I grew up watching.
No, and that's the thing. We didn't see him in the early 80s. We saw, you know, the kind of – he didn't have to do all that by the time we saw him because he was so over. You know, why was he going to do it? Like, there's no reason.
Like, he never did. And I'm like, hey, like, man. So, that was cool to see that. But
oh, absolutely. Dude, and that's what's so fun about these lists, man. Like, it just – you get a chance to kind of reminisce and, like – and even watching wrestling, like, the vintage stuff. You catch something that maybe you didn't catch 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation piece. Like, we all grew up wrestling fans. We might not all watch it now, or we might not. But if you catch something on social media, it gets your attention. Like, you're like, oh, shit, I remember that guy.
Yeah, for sure. It's because when it's done right, it goes beyond the world of wrestling.
Right. It's a soap opera, man. Yeah. It's a story.
And it's one of the few things that in soap, I mean, they don't show reruns. You got to go find it on Peacock or the internet to see a rerun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, cool. So that was three.
Yeah. So I'm going to use four and five differently. I'm going to use four on two guys because I think everybody's heard about them, and I'm sure they're right up there with you. And it's The Rock and Stone Cold. I mean,
okay,
you could go either route with this. To me, I was a Stone Cold guy. Like you get goosebumps, you get chills when he'd come to the ring. He'd fucking, you know, talk shit, kick the boss's ass. Like everything about the Attitude Era was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Changed the business forever.
Yep.
And then The Rock's right, you know, not on the same level, in my opinion, as Stone Cold, but hell of a story as well. Like, you know, booing The Rock. I still remember, you know, him turning bad, joining the corporation. There's so many, like, good memories for both of these guys. And I think they were much needed after that slow point in the 90s. And you just hear the story about The Rock with $6 in his pocket or Stone Cold getting FedExed, you know, his termination papers from WCW. It's just a hell of a story to see, you know, just don't give up. Like, you never know when it's going to be your time.
Yeah, for sure.
I think John Cena has a story like that too, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So it's so that was what that was. You said 4 and 5.
So I'm done. That was I used 2 on 1. So like I said, I was kind of going. I'm gonna save the last one. I'm gonna go ahead and hit it with you. It's not everybody's favorite, but it was mine. He was oozing machismo, man. He was the bad guy, Razor Ramon. And when he wasn't there, he's doing surveys in WCW. We're talking wow. Scott Hall, baby. Wow. This was, dude, this is a guy that made me, you know, pretty much got me into wrestling, got me switching the channel from WWF to WCW. Yeah. Razor Ramon was the guy to me. He had it all. He had the look. He had the promo. He had, you know, just anything. He was a mid-card guy. Didn't need the title, but he was believable. Like, this guy would kick your ass, and he'd tell a story, and he'd just entertain you with his promos.
Yeah. That's I've never heard nobody put Razor that not that high. I've had him in, I've seen him in some top 15s, some 20s.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But no, you're right though. I'm surprised you didn't mention The Undertaker though.
I love The Undertaker. I love John Cena. I have like the utmost respect. Undertaker's right. Kind of another one of those, like, from 1990 to about 90, I'd say 6, 97. Like, yeah. I loved him. I loved the gong, the old school Undertaker in the gray or the purple and black. Yeah. And then it kind of, like, he went through these different alterations, and I still, like, I'd get, you know, get giggled when I'd see him, but it wasn't the same, like,
yeah,
you know, he kind of left after a while for me.
I think my favorite version is like Corporate Ministry Undertaker. I think that's probably my favorite version.
Oh, it was so different too. Like nobody saw that one. And I think that's one of the other things. When you see somebody like The Undertaker on your TV set for so long, you kind of, what's the word? Like I appreciate it, but I almost, you get, it's stale to a point. It's not, but you know what I mean? Like,
right. I know what you mean. Yeah.
You take it for granted. That's the word.
Yeah.
And I think that might be what's happened with me with a guy like a Ric Flair or a Undertaker. But no, there's so many goats, man.
Yeah, I mean it's like I said, you really can't go wrong because I know people that got Ric Flair and Arn Anderson in there. You can,
yeah, and I think it's different for everybody. It's who's your favorite. If you're asking me who's like the top five for the history of wrestling or the business, I could give you a different answer, you know what I mean? But I think this is, you know, those time frames, like I said, 86 to 90, those three guys were on point. 92 to 98, Brett, Shawn, like, they were on point. It was just a different time for me as a fan. Like,
right.
When I go back and watch wrestling, that's what I want to watch, Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart. That's what I want to watch, you know, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man.
Right. For sure, for sure. So, I wanted to ask. I think I asked you about the wrestling for today. Do you think I'm trying to figure out how to ask this about where wrestling is today. It's in a good place. I think we can all agree with you.
Yeah,
they sell out all the time.
Right,
but people. Well, let me ask you, why do you think people reference the Attitude Era so much? Why do you think that? Because it seems like they just go right to the Attitude Era.
That's a good question, man. Like, man, it's such a weird time because it's hardcore wrestling. It's, you know, it's nonstop cussing. It's violence. It's nudity. There's so much going on. And I think that's because that was, like, you know, the most popular time for pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, we had cable television. Everybody was watching cable. And everybody was watching Stone Cold flip off his boss. You're seeing Sable show her tits. It was just a different time. So I think as wrestling fans, if you are a wrestling fan, we all kind of relate to that time in wrestling when you see somebody cussing or it kind of going away from that kid-friendly version.
Right.
And I think the kid-friendly version's kind of ran its course. I don't think it necessarily needs to revert back to the Attitude Era, because I think what really made the Attitude Era was the stars at the top of the card.
I agree.
I don't think the Val Venus character where certain characters made it. I think it was Kane, The Undertaker, The Rock, Kurt Angle. You just had, you know, everybody
Mankind
was
it mentioned enough, but I feel like Mankind was just as big as
he helped you know, go in, bring that to the next level because of what you saw. Yeah, Mankind, dude. I still can't believe what he put his body through. But
And did it for so long, it ain't like it was like a one-off. He had a lot of stuff like that. Like him and Terry Funk, I don't know how they held up as long as they did.
When it's so weird, like, I can't watch hardcore matches without, like, cringing. I'm just like that, like, I don't know why, but it's just like, oh, man, like, I almost cuss. It's, like, uncomfortable for me, which I respect the hell out of it. But I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is crazy. But that's part of the shock and awe of, I guess, part of the Attitude Era, what they say.
Yeah.
But hardcore wrestling, that's it. But, I mean, that still has a place now with death matches, which is not something some people love. They love hardcore wrestling, so then they revert back to these death matches now. And now you have that niche of people that love that. So it works, you know?
Yeah. So something I want to, because I know you do a lot of this, and you're good at it. No, you're great at it. So I want to talk about your stuff a little bit. I want to talk about that, and you know it better than me. But something you like to do, you'll pull out like the greatest. I think the one I've been really following, the greatest tag teams of all time, and
yes, sir,
the best wrestlers or the best, you know, themes. You have a whole lot. Like I was watching one today. I was at work, and I'm probably when I got some free time, I'm gonna go back and look at it because I've never seen it. When you was talking about Backlash 99,
right?
Like, how do you find these gems? How do you go through that? Like, how do you put all these things together?
So I basically wrestling. I've always been a wrestling fan. I've always been a football fan. I've always been a sports fan. Yeah. I've always, you know, had that memory as a kid. And then you go to college, and then you do stuff with your buddies. And I, at one point when I was, I'd say probably like 20, I got some extra money, and I decided to buy every WWE pay-per-view DVD. It was like a burned copy, but it was every pay-per-view. But I mean, I was a bachelor in my early 20s. You know, you're living the bachelor life. You're going home, getting high, watching some wrestling, you know, just having a good time, being 21, you know?
Yeah.
I love what I do. And I think it's, regardless, I gravitate towards these certain eras of wrestling. And that's what I've realized is I want to talk about. I don't want to do the news. I don't want to just, you know, you have a passion for it. And I think I'm in year 4 or 5, kind of like you, where I've kind of had to grow and learn what works, what doesn't work, find my niche. You know, I used to do fantasy football content with like 12 other guys. I used to do wrestling content with like 5 other guys. Yeah. And I realized what works is me doing my content the way I want to do it. And then helping people along the way, if they have questions, I don't mind helping. I want to see other people succeed.
Yeah.
But consistency and you doing the work is everything. Everybody wants to podcast, but if you don't want to promote, if you don't want to do all these other, you know, parts of it, you're not going to see growth. Yeah. So I think that's something, you know, it's a great hobby. And that's what it's kind of been with me. It's been something I've enjoyed learning.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I said, I love it. And it's, we mentioned this earlier. It's one of those, you know, consistency is everything. You never know when you're going to hit. And that's what's kind of happened for me. People started digging it. People want to know, who is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of the 80s? The best tag team? There's so many people that want to give their input on social media and don't have a platform to, like, make videos. They don't have the time for that. But they want to see wrestling content. They want to be involved. They don't want you just telling them, you know, if they wanted to listen to facts, they could go read an encyclopedia. They could go watch the network. But let's talk, you know, maybe I'm at the house and I'm like, man, I'd really like a good pay-per-view to watch. I'm an old school wrestling fan. Well, come to my page. You know, it's post-WrestleMania. We kind of want to stay on the, like, trajectory of what's going on in wrestling, boom, Backlash 99.
Yeah.
But I think that's the big thing, like pointing people into a direction, kind of giving them knowledge, some behind the scenes that I think everybody loves about sports in general.
Yeah.
Is the dirt, the gossip, the gaga. So I think that's important. And then I think, you know, you can be opinionated, but at the same time, they're there to voice their opinion too. So that's where I try to keep that open-ended. Like, hey, if this is the greatest, if you think the Outsiders are better than the Road Warriors, vote. Personally, in my opinion, I think the Road Warriors were one-dimensional. Or, you know, just as an example.
Yeah,
and that's where, that's where I take in the votes and the comments into effect. And that's where you come out with an outcome that, like, okay, well, maybe my opinion's not the popular one, but, you know, you had 70% of the fans thinking the Hardys were better than Edge and Christian. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, it makes it fun, man. I think that's the thing, is everybody wants to have a voice, and that's what the best part about social media is, as long as it can be, you know, kind of filtered in a way that people realize there's no right answer to wrestling. Like, it's just entertainment. Yeah, yeah. I'm able to moderate to a point, but I'm able to let everybody get involved. And in the process, I think it helps my growth, but it makes my job easier.
For sure. Like, I remember you was talking about a dream matches, and everybody always goes to Sting and Undertaker. That's
right. That's
everybody goes to. But I remember commenting on that one, saying I feel like a dream match would have been The Fiend and Mankind, just those two. I feel like that would have been great. And I don't know why we...
Dude.
Maybe you can answer this. Maybe you can answer. I know why we didn't get Mankind and Fiend, because historical timeline, it wouldn't have worked.
Right.
But I feel like we could have got The Rock and Shawn Michaels. Why don't you think we got that? Why do you think that didn't ever happen?
I think that's a lot, you know, where the backstage stuff comes into play. From what I can understand is, I don't know if you've seen the backstage with just Shawn Michaels, how big of a dickhead he was.
I've heard.
You know, he messed up. From what I understand, he was very toxic backstage. I don't think it was anything, you know, he wasn't to anybody else. I think The Rock just happened to become the biggest star in the world. And, you know, he took notes on how Shawn Michaels treated him and the rest of the locker room. And you've also seen on The Rock show where he buries Shawn Michaels in an episode. So if you go back and watch it, he has a different character play The Rock. But if you just type in HBK and I don't remember what's The Rock's kids show.
That Rock, Young Rock. Is that what it was?
Young Rock. Right. Watch the HBK episode on Young Rock. And
you know, I've never actually watched that show. I never actually watched it.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's worth, you know, it's kind of giving you that territory vibes of how it was for him.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I just think it was backstage politics. And by the time, you know, The Rock came back, he wasn't ready to deal with Shawn Michaels. You know, even though Shawn Michaels was a different guy, I just don't think that was in the cards for The Rock.
Yeah. But I just think performing-wise, I think that'd have been must-see.
Oh, electric.
And I hate that never happened, but it's like that. Because really, I mean, and we've seen, there's been a lot of people that didn't like each other throughout time, and maybe now, that we'll probably hear about, you know, down the line, that didn't like each other. I mean, hell, Brett and Sean didn't like, I mean, you know all about the screw job and all that. That was real.
What a crazy, like, just two guys that were literally, you know, they just kind of circled each other for a good 10 years.
Yeah.
And just such a story, like, just how all that went down. And, you know, another part of wrestling, like, people think everything's fake. There's shit that's real that's going down, like, all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's real people, real emotions, real situations. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, why is he in the main event, and why am I always in the middle of the card? I don't want to be the popcorn match. I want the belt, too. So that's a real thing.
Real emotions, man. Like you said, like, everybody wants to be a pro wrestler, but everybody wants to, you know, move up the ladder. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You don't want to be stagnant. And I think that's what some people don't understand. Like, you know, you think this guy wants to be the opener, you know, for 8 years?
Right. Like I'm missing my child grow up to chase Doink the Clown every week. I don't want to do
that. Oh, dude, you know? And it's just such a crazy business, and that's what makes me love it that much more. And I love sports in general. You know, you have the best of the best. And sometimes wrestling, you know, it takes a lot of different things for you to be the best of the best. And it's not just athleticism or charisma. It's missing putting your career before your family, or putting, you know, your career before, you know, your health. So it is interesting just to see how, you know, art imitates life.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. Now, speaking of being at the top and sacrificing, I want to ask you again. I want to ask about Cody Rhodes. What do you expect from him as champion? Because honestly, I think he's going to be better. Although he is growing on me as a champ, but I feel like he's one of the ones that would have been better chasing it than he is that he has it. Because now I'm looking at the now what. So, what do you think about him as a champion? Because I've heard people saying, "Oh, this is going to be his. This is going to be Triple H's Hulk Hogan. This is going to be his John Cena. This is going to be, you know, the new Roman." Although I don't think Cody's going to have the belt for years. But what do you expect from Cody?
I don't know, man. I think that's a good question. Like, I think he's definitely a top of the card kind of guy. I want to see storylines. I want to see feuds. I don't know if he necessarily needs to hold the belt like a Roman Reigns or a Hulk Hogan or a Bob Backlund.
Yep.
You look at who's all on top of the card, like Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre's on fire. You still have Randy Orton, CM Punk. There's so much talent at the top of the card. I just want to see good storylines. I want to see some kind of feud with Randy Orton. I don't know how you get there, how you can't really make Cody a heel. He's too big of a face. So I just don't know how you book him. I don't know how.
We've seen the biggest heel face in the business go heel once upon a time. I think we've both seen that. I won't mention no names, but I saw somebody put said leg drop on the middle.
Crazy. Even Roman Reigns, like, it took him getting booed to getting to a level where everybody knows he's one of the best ever now.
Yeah. He's in my top 10 all the time. He's in my top 10.
Yeah, but I think Cody Rhodes, like, I think they did a good job of not giving him the title that first year. So it was a little more organic, because if he would have won it easier, then you're just kind of putting him in that Roman Reigns role as a face where you're just force-feeding him. So it's good that I just hope he has opponents lined up and somewhat of a storyline to kind of, you know, get us to that point. But I think they've already done a good job with that. With what was it like? He had a little tag team run with Jey Uso, which was cool. So I think you got to mix it up. I think that's the best thing you can do is, like, maybe have him the captain of a War Games match. Have him deep. If he's your champion, you need him to have those, you know, 30-minute matches in the main event. Just, you know, you want to see quality wrestling and just quality content from Cody Rhodes.
He can do that. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing about this new era. Because, you know, they try, like you said earlier, the sports entertainment thing is going away, and they're trying to do the wrestling. So I think you're going to see more wrestling and less theatrics. I mean, although I don't think either one's bad. I don't think sports is bad. It just kind of depends on what you like. But I think we're going to get into more wrestlers being on top than we are, you know, showmen being on top.
You can have the R-Truth bits. You can have these different, like, you know, kind of fun things to sprinkle in, because people need that. Like, that's kind of your, like, get me up during a pay-per-view or during a Raw or during a live event. If you haven't been to a WWF live event lately,
man,
it is outrageous how, like, family friendly, how interactive it is. Like, your whole family will love it. Even if they don't watch wrestling, they will be blown away by what WWE does as a company. So definitely worth checking out. But I think we both kind of said it. We're on a upward trajectory for pro wrestling in general, whether it's AEW, WWE, you know, getting to see legends or just getting to see, like, quality content. That's where we're kind of at right now.
Yeah, it's at an all-time high, man, and I'm all for it. With Shoe Wrestling, Matt, I man, first of all, thanks again for being on here, dude. This has been fun for me. But I wanna kind of segue into to see what you tell people what you got going on, because there are some wrestling fans that watch this show, and I want them to know what you got going on, because you dig, like you said, you're in the crates, brother. You in the crates, man. So just take however long you need. Just tell us about you and how you got started, and
Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm a fan of wrestling. I love it. I love podcasting. I love being able to grow. Everybody's got to walk before they can run. You know, it's all about a process. You got priorities. I get it. But I think consistency is huge, especially in social media. So if anybody that needs to hear that, don't put your family over social media. Don't be stupid. But at the same time, it's going to be times you don't want to do it. But be consistent. That's all. People want to see content, but they want to know it's there. So you have to be consistent. For me, it's a passion. That's why I do it. I love showing classic wrestling matches. I love seeing cool pictures. I think it's a mix of everything on my page. If you come on there, you're not just going to see me talking, because I feel like sometimes people get tired of hearing, you get tired of hearing your own self talk.
Yeah.
So that's where you get to see these polls. You get to see these matches. You get to see pieces of history or pieces of what may come in the future. And that's what you get at the _ wrestling mat on Instagram. I would do Facebook. I would do TikTok, all these different social media platforms. But honestly, that's a lot of work. And I like to stick to my niche, what I'm good at. I'm good at Instagram because it is kind of a mother of everything. So that's kind of why I like going that route. I can do, you know, if anybody ever wants to ask me questions, my DMs are always open. Or if you have a recommendation of a match or a poll, anything, that's what I'm here for. I'm here just like you guys. I'm a fan. But, dude, all I can say is thank you, Wayne. You are a diesel. You are the man, dude. You call it how it's seen. And, dude, I love when you're sporting the Knicks gear on your Instagram, things like that.
Oh, you know it. That's my squad. We're going to the finals this year. I'm on that.
I'm an old school Knicks fan. I jumped on their bandwagon when they were in the finals. I think it was 2099, something like that.
99 with Charlie Ward and
Sprewell, Camby, Houston.
Yeah.
LJ. It was magical. And then even the Melo with J.R. Smith and all those vets, dude.
Marlon Shumpert and Tyson Chandler,
It was Raymond fun Felton, time.
What was left of Baron Davis at the time.
But, dude, I loved every part of that. Like, you're getting to see Baron Davis, Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin, Rasheed Wallace, all on your bench.
The immortal Pablo Prigioni.
Oh, my God.
Glenn Sandy, that was cool for about 30 minutes.
That was something nobody will ever see again, I don't think.
That was incredible. And you know what? I don't think that would have worked. If he was on the Timberwolves, it wouldn't have been the same.
Dude, and that's on my bucket list to eventually go to the Garden one day. I don't know if you've been, but if you haven't, we need to figure out a way to get there.
I've not been to the Garden. It's going to happen. I've not been.
We need to go to a Knicks game together, buddy.
Man, you're done.
We wouldn't know what to do. But dude, yeah, like I said, man, I appreciate you having me on. Dude, thank you for what you do. People want to hear your voice. Don't ever think they don't. And you bring these questions that people want to hear. You could ask all these questions that nobody gives a shit about, but you get to the meat and the bones. You get top five wrestlers. Like, you put people on the spot, and that's what I enjoy about this show, man. And just thank you for everything, bro.
No problem, man. And thank you. I got one last question. One last question, and you might be the perfect one to. So, how? And it's a retro wrestling question, and it never gets talked about. But it's an odd thing to end a podcast with. But that's how we're gonna do it. How good was Roddy Piper? Because I feel like Drew McIntyre now is exactly what Roddy Piper was.
Roddy Piper was ahead of his time, and I think that's what made it tough. Is he was so good on the microphone. He was so good at talking shit. And, you know, people didn't know how to respond to it, and they weren't ready for it. And you, the greatest thing, you could go back and watch, I think it's a WrestleMania 7 promo, Bret Hart, Roddy Piper before the match. And him just talking just shit to Bret Hart is just classic. But, yeah, Roddy, he's another one, like, even before I started digging deep into the tape, I didn't appreciate. It was one of those that was kind of like, Roddy Piper. But you go back and watch those promos, you watch Piper's Pit. Dude, he was on point as well, and he also has acting chops, which a lot of wrestlers can't do. That's hard to pull off, especially in the early 90s.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't many of them. For sure, man. But, Matt, the wrestling Matt, I appreciate this again, man. We gonna be in touch, man, and we gonna link up again down the road. Hopefully a lot sooner than later, brother, for sure.
Absolutely, man. We'll have to get on for an Instagram Live. And I think your peeps want to see you on video. They want to see you on multiple platforms where they can keep in touch with you, Wayne. So I think we're going to get that going. And
we need to do an IG Live some. We need to do that's a great. We need to do that someday. Maybe for like a pay-per-view or something, like a watch-along pay-per-view or something. Like, we can just do that or something.
Yeah, and shout out to your listeners. And who's did you say was the wrestling fan that
Keyjohn,
shout out to you, man. Anytime you want to talk wrestling, either on this show or whatnot, send in your questions to Wayne. We'll cover anything you want to talk about, brother.
Yeah, and you will respect Bret Hart. He calls him mid-card Hart. Yeah, you know. Well, shoot, man, I appreciate you, man, and thanks again for this, dude. You got a friend in me, man. You got a friend in me.
I appreciate that, Wayne, man. Y'all have a good night tonight, everybody. Thank you.
All right, y'all. We out.